Yo, yo, yo. What's up, fellas? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. We're chilling today. I don't have a lot planned for this episode. I'm kind of just recording, firing from the hip, just seeing what comes to mind. The first thing I will say is that I have taken the action of renaming the podcast. I know a lot of people were, you know, attached to the Joshcast name, but I decided to change it to the Josh A Podcast because in my defense, it feels like the Joshcast is kind of confusing to anybody who doesn't really keep up with me or who doesn't keep up with the music or whatever. Like if I plug this on socials, I want people to see it and know that, oh, this is Josh A's podcast as opposed to like the Joshcast. What the heck is that? It's almost like, imagine Little Baby wants to make a podcast. You know, he's going to call it the Little Baby Podcast. He's not going to call it like, he's not going to call it the Little Baby Cast. So yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the cool part about what this podcast is and what you guys are witnessing. Like you're all here on the ground floor, that this little tight knit community that we have of people who enjoy the podcast. You all get to see everything evolve and become something that, you know, you guys were here first. Basically, we're gonna grow it to a massive point. Eventually, it'll be sick as hell. But right now, we're still learning. We're still growing, and I'm also bringing in another change, which is I'm leaving my stutters in. All right, I'm leaving them in. So like before all the past episodes, I went out of my way to try to like cut it down because I didn't think people would want to hear that. But what I realized is that by doing that, it just makes the whole thing sound robotic as hell. So now you're gonna hear all the stutters. And if you don't like it, too bad. That's me. I'm giving you 100% of me, baby. And this stutter, man, has been the bane of my existence for pretty much my entire life. From a kid, I had a specialist try to help me with it, and it worked for a little bit up until I got older and I started to get more anxiety in life. And I'm just an anxious person. That's how I am, and I feel like there's no real way to curb the like stutter, and it's so ingrained in me as a person that I can't imagine myself without having a stutter. And you know, maybe I should rename this bad boy to the Joshcast, you know. I don't know, man. It is so irritating, but maybe if there's anybody else out there who does suffer with a stutter, know that you're not alone. Out now on Spotify. I've said that before. and also to anybody who thinks that there's some big comedic genius, Today Jr. is not funny. Heard it a million times before. Like, get some better stutter jokes. There's got to be some better ones out there. And, like, trust me, guys, I got thick skin. I don't really let, you know, comments or whatever get to me. I got thick skin about that type of stuff. Don't really care. You can make stutter jokes all you want, but I'm just telling you, the like, Today Jr. is not funny. It's just been overdone. Like, here, let me go on Google right now, and I can give you a better joke. Like, just stutter jokes. Okay, a guy with a stutter died in prison before he could finish his sentence. Beautiful. Chef's kiss. That's a great joke. Let's see. After nearly a month of trying, my wife finally told me that she is pregnant. She has the worst stutter ever. Okay, it just clicked. And another thing that's like weird about having a stutter, aside from, you know, it being debilitating to try to order something from a restaurant, it's just weird to me how it only happens whenever I try to talk. It doesn't happen with the music. So whenever I record a song or whatever, no problem whatsoever. I get on the mic, I spit, I don't have any problem with my delivery. But like as soon as I get off the mic, I go to the, you know, I leave the booth and I'm like, play it back, please. It's so strange to me. But yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Another thing I wanted to talk about was the like status of these announcements that I've been just sort of hanging over your head the past few episodes. Basically, I can't really tell you when the stuff is happening. I can't give you guys the spoilers, but I can promise you something is happening soon in the foreseeable future. And like, I've been getting tweets from people who were like, yo, when's new stuff coming out? And I can tell you, I'm just as impatient as you are. I've been pacing around my house, biting my fingernails, just sort of like, you know, itching to get this stuff out. But I promise it'll be soon. And when all this stuff does come to light, I promise you guys, you're going to be stoked. It's going to be crazy. And dude, another thing that I've been like dying to get out is new merch, because it's been what, almost a year since I've done it. Like, I'm thinking, it's like June last year, and we're like 2 months away from that now because it's April. So yeah, I mean, it's been almost a year since I've dropped new merch, and I can tell you, I've been designing stuff in like this whole time, coming up with ideas. It's straight up like a year's worth of merch right there, ready to go. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I also am heavily involved in designing the merch. That's something that I'm really passionate about. In addition to making music and doing this podcast, like a whole other passion of mine is designing clothes. It's so fun to me. And if you guys want a little bit of some sweet, sweet Josh A. lore, I don't know if I mentioned this to like interviews or whatever, but I was actually in college for graphic design back before I became the greatest rapper of all time. And I was only in it for a semester, but I was in college for it, and that was something that was like my original life path that I wanted to take, was designing stuff for like maybe businesses or whatever, let it be like logos or commercials. But basically, like, the visual side of things is where I have a lot of passion, and I always want to have a hand in that type of stuff. Like, whenever it comes to music, I do the album covers, like, I sketch them out, and then I work with somebody who actually knows what they're doing. And, same thing with the merch. That's something that I'm really big in. You know, I love just opening up Illustrator, you know, clickety-clackety on my keyboard until I come up with something cool. And that's basically just my long-winded way of saying that there is going to be merch coming soon. I know the date, but you don't, and you're not going to until I announce it. Anyways, there really hasn't been anything going on in terms of, like, entertainment stuff or whatever. You know, I guess it's just been a slow week. You know, Will Smith slaps Chris Rock, and the news cycle just dies. I'm pretty much just going to be in, like, hibernation until Ozark, until Obi-Wan. Whenever those shows come out, then these podcasts are going to get real interesting. If you thought I was nerdy before, wait until you see how nerdy I get with these episodes. I'm trying to think of what I could talk about. I mean, there is one thing that's been on my mind lately, and it's the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel at Disney World. And you know, if you know anything about me, I am a Orlando native here. I'm living here. Pretty much across the street from Disney at this point. So Disney's pumped like millions and millions of dollars into this ridiculous hotel that's supposed to like bring Star Wars to life. And the idea is pretty sick. Like, it would be so cool to go to a Star Wars hotel and feel like you're in the galaxy and all that. That seems cool. The problem is that it's like $6,000 a night to stay there. And I love Star Wars. I'm a diehard fan. Grew up watching the movies. I got, you know, all the Funko Pops in the world from Star Wars. But I'm not spending $5,000 or $6,000 a night to pretend, to basically like LARP as if I'm in the Star Wars galaxy. There are a million better things you could spend your money on than $6,000 to pretend to be in Star Wars. And trust me, like, I gave this the benefit of the doubt. I looked it up on YouTube because maybe there's something in the experience that makes it worth $6,000. Like, you know, if I'm paying that much, like, Darth Vader better chop off my hand and tell me he's my father at this point. But I looked at the videos and it's not good. So apparently there's this one, like, dining hall or whatever, and while you're eating, the actors just rush in and they're like, get up, we have to go now. And one of the videos I was watching, this guy like just got his food and he like just paid for it, is like $50 for his dinner, and right as he gets it, the actors rush in, they're like, get up, come on, we gotta go. And he's like, I just got my food. And the dude just has to deal with his food being cold and left out, you know, also in the middle of COVID. And and they all go in, and it's literally just to watch actors pretend to be Kylo Ren and Rey, and then they're basically just play fighting. This dude just lost a $50 meal to watch two actors play fight. And the one thing that like really set me off that nobody else cares about, but I do, is you can YouTube this. They were gonna release this like special lightsaber that the blade shoots out instead of it just being like one of those like long light bulbs. Because for most of these toy lightsabers, the blade is like just already on there. It's just stuck there and you can't really do anything about it. And then you press the button and then it lights up and that's it. What this was trying to do was like you press the button and then the blade shoots out. But I'm scrolling through the videos and the only lightsabers that they got there are ones that already have the blade in it. If I spent $6,000 under those false pretenses, oh, I would have sued or something. I would have been angry on the internet, which is basically what I'm doing now. But yeah, like this is probably the worst hotel I've ever seen. And not because of that stuff. Like I'm mostly just memeing about that stuff, but like it's like claustrophobic because you go into this building, right? You pull up in sunny Florida and you go into this building and it's like completely on lockdown because there's no windows. Every window is replaced with a TV screen that just projects a video of space. And the worst part about that, like that's fine if it's like immersive and all that, you know, I get what they're going for, but like you go into the hotel rooms and the TV screens for the windows, like if you go from one side of the room to the other side and you look in like both of the different windows, it's the same exact video being played, so the angle doesn't change based on where you're standing in the room. Which is like, if they want it to be immersive, that's not very immersive. And I was watching a YouTube video of a guy like doing a walk through the hotel rooms, and he stumbled upon that. He like goes back and forth to like see the angle doesn't change, and all he has to say is just, "Oh yeah, don't do that." It's like, dude, he's like, if you don't want the immersion ruined, just don't do that. And the hotel rooms also vaguely look like a prison cell, and the some of the employees, because some of them play like the bad guys or whatever, and they're allowed to be mean to the customers, you know, because they have to like play the part or whatever. So on top of that, you're paying all that money to be yelled at by somebody who is already not being paid enough to be there. And I just don't get it. Why would you spend basically it's an 06 Honda Civic right there. You're dropping a decent amount of money. Like you could just buy a car with that. Like you could stay at a way nicer hotel for way less money. Like you could stay at, you know, the Ritz-Carlton or whatever fancy ass hotel that exists out there for like, you know, $350-$400 a night. You could live like a king and you could actually see the sun. It just blows my mind, dude, that Disney has the balls to charge that much for an experience like that. I mean, I guess they're justified because they know people are going to pay for that. But for like the Disney adults and the people who want to have an experience like this, you know, Disney's just ripping them off. They really don't care, you know, how many months these people have to work to pay to have an experience like that. And you know, we can clown on these people all we want as to like, why are you paying that much money? You know, it's funny, right, that somebody would pay that much. But, you know, Disney adults and people like that, they're just searching for happiness, man. They just want to find their little moment of peace. And if putting on some Jedi robes and prancing around with Darth Vader in a boarded up hotel does that for them, then God bless them. But the way how Disney is going about this, it just feels so predatory, man. It just seems kind of messed up because you already know that they can charge way less. But the problem is that they're so obsessed with money and everything, they don't want to lose a dime. They don't want to lose any type of investment that they made. Even if like they just kept it open for 20 years, they'd probably make their money back. They probably already made their money back from charging so much. But I mean, you know, if you guys want some cathartic YouTube viewing, just look up the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel on YouTube, and you can see videos of it. And it's just like, why are people spending this much money on it? I just don't understand. And it's really wild just living in Orlando because it's like stuff like this just exists just a stone throw away, you know? It kind of makes me just want to get the hell out of Orlando, get out of this crazy capitalist consumerist BS that surrounds me on a daily basis. Because a place like Orlando is very similar to something like how I imagine people who live in Vegas are like. it's pretty much, it's only fun if you're passing through, if you're only here temporarily as a tourist. To actually live here, it blows. And it takes like 45 minutes just to get a cup of coffee, just to go drive and get a cup of coffee. And like, I don't know, just the longer I live out here, the more Disney stuff I see, the more Star Wars hotels keep popping up. I don't know, a part of me just wants to live in that TV show Yellowstone. I mean, if you know anything about it, that is, it's probably one of the most boomer shows ever. It's like, it's about these cowboys who live in Montana who are just like trying to protect their land because they have like thousands of acres and all that. And whenever I watch that show, man, I'm just sitting there like, take me home, mountain mama. Because I don't know, there's just something about living off the land, you know, having some cattle and stuff and having a farm. It just seems nice. It seems relaxing. So just sort of away from all the hectic stuff in the city. And you know, like, there are aspects of the city that can be cool, like it's great being able to order Uber Eats and stuff like that, and to have all the amenities that come with living in a city. You know, everything's in a certain mile radius, even though it takes, you know, the 45 minutes to get a cup of coffee. But like, there are aspects of it that are nice, but for some reason, I just have this urge to go out, live in the middle of nowhere, just completely F off from the rest of the world a bit. Because if you think about it, I mean, all I'd really need is an internet connection in order to continue making music and stuff and dropping music. I just need, like, my instruments and an internet connection. And I can do this anywhere. And the possibility of just being able to work on music with no distractions, no cars honking outside, no tourists yelling, and then if I get burnt out with music, I can just take a break and step outside and just become one with the land. It sounds nice. I don't mean to sound like a hippie or anything, but I definitely think at some point that's going to be in my future. You know, I'll be sitting on my porch with a shotgun, with a glass of sweet tea, And making rap music, yes. And all this talk of becoming a cowboy, that just, it reminds me of all the memes you guys made about my song Outlaw. Because I remember whenever that song dropped, I've seen people edit it into truck commercials, whoever it's like the new Dodge Ram and all that, because of the intro. It just sounds like that, which is funny as hell to me. And I think there's another one where I'm like it's me in the cowboy hat and I'm standing on like in a Minecraft world or something. And you know, maybe it's time I fully embrace my cowboy side. I've been holding it in for too long. I got nothing else to do. Maybe it's time I move out, you know? But enough of this cowboy talk, guys. We have to get into it. The Q&A. The comments. See, you guys leave comments, I answer the comments. Yeah, it's a very straightforward transaction, all right? It's really simple. All right, so our first question comes from the user Ghostly L. What's up, man? He says, what's your favorite song that you've made? What's the song that was the most fun to make? And what's your favorite song that you haven't made? So, my favorite song that I've made is a toss-up between Pain and Outlaw. I played Outlaw at the beginning of this podcast episode just because I wanted to slap it in there and show you guys what's up. But yeah, I feel like Outlaw is one of my most slept on songs. And I don't know, it might be because of the intro, because it does sound like a truck commercial. But once you get to the chorus, like, the chorus is, in my opinion, so sick. And I remember when I was putting that together with Andrew Wade in the studio, and like the whole way how it came about, I was like so frustrated about a different song, and then we just like, I picked up the guitar, laid out a riff, and just immediately we were off to the races. And that was one of my most fun experiences making a song. And on top of that, it's a badass song in my opinion. What's the song that was the most fun to make? I just answered it right there. What's your favorite song that you haven't made? It varies a lot. It usually Like 1 week it'll be one song, and another week it'll be another song. I don't have a specific favorite, but right now it's Buddy Holly by Weezer. That song's just so wild to me, and I love the opening, because he's like, "What's with these homies dissing my girl?" It's funny to hear like rap lingo on a rock song, and especially in that way, because Weezer is a very nerdy band. All right, so the next comment comes from Imagine Creativity. Yeah, man, imagine having creativity. That'd be crazy. Okay, that was stupid. But he asks, what advice would you give a new content creator trying to break into a niche and make a name of themselves? I mean, what I found is it's really just as simple as throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, like, in order to figure out what type of stuff you want to make or whatever you want to put out into the world, it takes trial and error. You know, I talked about it in I believe it was the last episode or the episode before. I talked about how, like, you know, you don't have to rush to figure out your thing. You don't have to know your thing right away, and a lot of people don't figure it out until they're older. So yeah, I would just say just keep throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And also, don't do it just to get views or just to get recognition. Like, do it because you enjoy doing it yourself. Because if you do it where you're just trying to get views and stuff, then it's just a job. It's not even fun at that point. You're not expressing yourself. You're gonna get fed up with it. You're gonna get burnt out the same way you might get burnt out at a job. Like, at that point, you might as well be working just a job. So yeah, just do what you like doing and what you're passionate about. Like just keep trying things out until you find that. And once you find it, and if it resonates with people, just keep throwing everything at it. All right, so the next one, Lisa Allman says, big fan of your music and podcast. Love you. Thank you. Appreciate you. And they ask, where did you get the idea for Little Revive? And Little Revive started out in high school. I was I believe it was my senior year, and I was pretty much just fed up with school at that point. I wasn't confident that I was going to graduate, but I ended up doing it. And most of my classes, I would just be sitting, doodling, writing up ideas and stuff. And Little Revive was kind of birthed in that whole process where I was just so immersed in chasing my dreams and stuff, because I figured out my passion. I figured out music was what I wanted to do. And I would just be scribbling in my notebook at all times. And Little Revive just sort of came from me sketching up character ideas, because I also wanted to eventually make a cartoon one day, because I was, like I mentioned before, I was planning to go into school for graphic design. So making a cartoon was like the sort of end-all be-all, you know, and Rick and Morty had just come out around that time as well. I wanted to make like my own cartoon, and do something that was a unique concept for a cartoon as well. Doing something that touched on death, because I hadn't really seen that many cartoons that like touch on that. And Billy and Mandy and Courage the Cowardly Dog were some of my favorite cartoons growing up, where it has a real spooky vibe and everything. And what I wanted it to be was sort of something in that vein of like a cartoon like that. And then it eventually turned into like a comic book idea. And then as music was blowing up and stuff, I just thought to myself, you know, what would this guy sound like if he made music? Because that would be pretty cool. And then, it eventually turned into just a cool music thing. And now I sort of treat it like the place where I can do all my dark, evil, twisted stuff. And then Josh A can be where I do the stuff that's like truly reflective of me as a person. And Little Revive stuff is just the real dark, twisted stuff, because I know you guys like that. And I treat that as like since the Better Off Dead series is over, the Little Revive is where you can get those spooky songs, you know? All right, for the next comment, it's Just Walk asked, yo, kind of late to the show, but I was wondering if Vultures is a full song or if it's just a snippet. Really has a nice vibe to it, and I feel like it'll be a banger. Much love, man. Been a fan since No Chill, and don't plan on stopping. Thanks, dude. That's pretty sick that you've been around that long. It's been like 7 years now. Yeah, so let's talk about Vultures, right? Everybody's been spamming me for that song for years. I made it in 2019. This was like, it was around the time that I was working on Save Our Souls. It was like in that time frame, and I made the song quickly. I wasn't really thinking. It was a real rough demo, and I put up a little snippet of it because I thought it sounded cool, and then I completely forgot about it, and for the past 3 years it's haunted me. So I mean, I can definitely drop it. I'm probably gonna put it on the next album or something, because I know that the next album I want to have more like rock centric stuff on it and do more stuff in that vein. So yeah, I mean, it'll probably drop, but the only problem with it is it's not going to sound 100% like the snippet, because one, I've lost that file completely. I don't have that file anymore, so I have to remake it, and two, my voice has changed a little bit since then. It's like hard to hit that same register the way how I did back then, but I feel pretty confident that I can remake it decently and maybe even make it better than it was, because the original demo for it is super rough and there's like whole other sections of the song that you guys haven't even heard yet. Initially, I wasn't even going to release the song, but because you guys have been asking so much and you've shown support for it, I have no choice. I have to do it. So yeah, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope it got you through the day or through a little segment of your day. And yeah, I'll see you guys in the next one. My final words to you before I leave: listen to Outlaw. It's pretty good. You should stream it on Spotify and everything. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. I'll see you later.